Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Barry Markson in for Broomhead. Mike's taking a well-deserved day off, and I hope you're having a good Friday. It's starting to warm up a bit here in the Valley of the Sun, but that's all right. It's still cool. I mean, I got to tell you, I opened up the door today, let the dog out. It's cool. As long as it's cool in the morning and at night, I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at these things. When it starts to get where I can't get out in the morning, that's when it starts to become a problem. But I hope you're having a good Friday and have some good plans for the weekend. You know, we've been talking about inflation a lot, and I know Mike talks about it, and it's right now, fourth day in a row, record gas prices. We've hit yet another high. The average around the country is $4.44. It went up 2 cents overnight. Arizona up. We're higher than that, although we're lower than Hawaii and California and a couple others, but Arizona's are high as well. And you feel it. I mean, the gas prices are the worst, right? Because gas prices, more than anything else, you stand there and watch the price, look at how much it costs per gallon and watch that thing roll, and that's what gets us all. But what I want, as I was looking at this today, I saw something that just made me kind of cringe. There are Democrats, mostly the progressives, that are out there right now, and they're kind of seeing a conspiracy theory about, they're calling it like that, a conspiracy theory as it regards inflation. And they're saying the reason we have inflation is that these big companies have gotten greedy. I'm quoting now. They've gotten greedy. And according to them, they're trying to pad their profits. They're conspiring to pad profits and to profiteer and to price gouge. And the Democrats are going to stop them, right? The progressives are going to stop them. So there was a bill introduced yesterday in the Senate by Elizabeth Warren and a couple of others that is going to ban price gouging. I'm going to let that sink in for a little bit, because how do you do that? How do you ban price gouging? And it defines, first of all, the question is, what is price gouging? So it defines price gouging as unconscionable excessive pricing, which, again, is, what does that mean? And but really what this is, it's a supply and demand thing. That's what's happening right now with inflation. And, you know, this thing where we're blaming Biden or whoever the president is, it's not his fault. Now, we can certainly say that part of the problem may have been the added bonus check, the COVID check that Biden sent out a few months into his presidency. But because we're combining it with all of the other checks we received during Trump's presidency. And the fact is, all of us said, ooh, give me the check. Right. I mean, everybody took that check and thinking things are good. But what's driving inflation now? I mean, this is really just economics kind of 101 or 201. It's a supply and demand thing. Because of COVID, demand just kind of dried up. Now we're coming out of COVID and demand is strong. But because demand dried up during COVID, a lot of companies shut down factories. They laid off people. They stopped making the product that they made. And it's been taking them a long time to get geared back up again. And part of that, because you listen to that, and you say, well, Barry, what's the big deal? So they stopped. All right. It's been a year now. What's going on? Let's get this thing fired up. But here's what happens. To make product A, they have to use 17 different products to make product A. And they need employees to do it. And we all know how difficult it's been to get employees these days. So let's say of the 17 pieces that they need to manufacture product A, they can't get two of them. Because two of them, the manufacturers have really slowed down or haven't been able to get employees or can't get some material or whatever it may be. So now, manufacturer product A, they can't do it. It slows down. They don't make as much as they could otherwise make or as much as they used to make because of that. But the demand is out there because all of us as consumers, we're loaded with cash right now. The stock market has gone down this week. But frankly, stock market had been at record highs. The housing market is at record highs. Everybody's feeling rich. Wages are way up. Savings is way up. We've had, in essence, through COVID, we had kind of like a forced savings, right? Like the government kept giving us checks and we had nowhere to spend them. Nobody took a vacation. There wasn't a lot of traveling. We didn't go out to restaurants and bars. We didn't do the things we normally do to spend our extra money. So we saved it. So I've been saying this for the last year and a half. The savings rate in the United States is at a record high. So people have more money in the bank than they've ever had before. Their house, if you own a house, your house is worth more than it's ever been worth before. You're getting paid more at work than you ever made before. There's a lot of money. And because of that, we're out there trying to spend that money. We want things. So the demand is high, and because they can't keep up with the demand with the supply, as a result of that, they charge more. I mean, that's how this works, right? I mean, if I'm a, you know, I'm an attorney, if I'm in huge demand, if I'm in huge demand, I'm going to raise my prices. That's how it works, right? I used to always say this about the airlines. You know, people would, back in the old days, you remember, airlines would say they're losing money. All the airlines were losing money. And I would always remember seeing them report that on certain flights on legs, like from Phoenix to Las Vegas, they would lose money on every flight. And I remember reading that thinking, then why do you have that flight? I mean, it just seems so silly. And the demand, so the planes were full, but they weren't charging enough to make the flight profitable for them. And in my head, I always, look, I'm not an economics major, but in my head, I just went, raise prices $10 every week. And as soon as you don't fill the plane anymore, as soon as demand goes down so much you don't fill the plane, stop and drop it $10. Now you found it. You found your price. That's how we set prices in this country. That's how this works. So what you have are manufacturers and service providers and hotels and airlines and everything, all of us who are saying, hey, I can charge more. People are paying for it. And they're doing that. Now, is that price gouging? I don't know. That's capitalism. That's how it works. I don't like it. I don't want to pay more, but that's how it works. If I'm a car dealer, if I'm an automobile dealer, and in the past, pre-COVID, if I raised prices on a car 20%, people would say, screw you, I'm going down the street to buy a car from somebody else, right? You shopped it around, you got the best price. But now, because the supply of cars is so low, and people want them, and they have the money, some dealers are pushing the price up. They're charging you MSRP, which you'd never used to pay, right? Everybody paid less than that. Used car prices are way up because there's not enough cars. The supply isn't matching demand. This isn't anything we all know this. That's how it works. I just think it's fun that the Democrats and some of these progressive Elizabeth Warren think it's price gouging. No, that's how our economy works. I have a product. It's in high demand. I can charge more for it. I'm allowed to do that. Same thing with my house. Right. I own my house. My house is worth a lot more today than it was 2 years ago. Just like everybody's house is like that right now, because there's a lot of people with money that want to buy homes and there's not enough inventory. So guess what? Prices go up. That's how this works. This is not that difficult, and it's not a conspiracy to drive up inflation. It's just how it works. What we have to do is figure out a way to get more workers and make sure that the products can flow in. Once we get supply up, inflation will go back down. That's easier said than done, and frankly, not something the government controls. But there's things we can do to help. All right, I thought that was a conspiracy. Everything is a conspiracy these days. I thought that was interesting. All right, coming up, I don't know if you saw this 2 days ago, the Arizona Republicans that are running for the nomination to be the Attorney General. It's the Attorney General's race. They had a big debate on Channel 8 on Ted Simons and Horizon. They had all six of them there, and you got to see some of this to believe it, folks. I'm going to talk about that coming up here in just a second. Stay with us. I'm Barry Marks, and in for Broomhead, it's KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Barry Markson with you in for Broomhead today. Mike's taking a little day off, and hope you're having a good Friday. It's going to be a great day today. Just trying to get past that Suns loss yesterday. It was a tough one. I think we're all waking up in a little bit of a malaise today. But Game 7 on Sunday. We have that to look forward to. All right, this was kind of an amazing thing yesterday. Or I guess it was Thursday. There are six Republicans running for the six Republicans that are running for Attorney General, and they're all. I guess it's what you have to do to run in the primary now. They're all trying to run to the right. It's been pretty interesting. So they went on with Ted Simons yesterday, or Thursday, and they said, they were asked several questions, and Ted Simons did a nice job. And it was always interesting for me to watch this because Simons asking them questions about several issues, and they kind of kept bringing it back to the same thing. So a lot of them want to talk about, and this is where a lot of Republicans, they want to talk about the border. They want to talk about immigration. And I'm going to tell you this right now. The Attorney General doesn't have a lot to do about that. It's just something that the Attorney General doesn't deal with a lot, but they're trying to make it so. And then the other thing they talked about a lot, and this was very concerning to me. I'm an attorney. These six people that are running are all lawyers. And the way they discussed this was frankly a little bit scary. Because as an attorney, there's a higher standard. There's a certain thing we have to do, not just an ethical standard, but also requiring that that you're doing the right thing as attorney general or as anything that we do. And they were asked the question, if you were attorney general back when the 2020 election happened, would you have signed and certified it like the current attorney general, Mark Brnovich, did? And if you remember how Arizona works, after the vote, after everything's counted, after everything's in, there's a certification process where the governor and the secretary of state, they have to certify that the vote is correct and it's witnessed by the attorney general and the chief justice of the Supreme Court. And forever, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know that happened until 2020, right? I mean, did you even know that that was the procedure for this happening until last election in 2020? So they did it. They signed, they certified it and sent it on its way. And all these candidates, they spent a good portion of this debate denouncing Ducey for certifying it. One of them said, got on Ducey because he didn't answer the call when Trump called during the certification process, maybe to try to stop him because it was on TV, and then also attacked Mark Brnovich. And the incredible thing for attacking Brnovich is Brnovich has done a lot. They were talking a lot about ballot harvesting and things like that. Brnovich's name is on the ballot harvesting decision from the Supreme Court. I mean, Brnovich has actually done things, actually accomplished things about election integrity. And these six people were all over him saying that he shouldn't have signed it. They should not have signed the election stuff. And this is what scares me. This is apparently where we are now, not just as a country, but as a state. And it worries me because I don't know how you can vote for anyone running for attorney general who will say that they would not certify the election if there is not hard evidence to say this is why you shouldn't do it. Now, a couple of them danced around it. There was one, I think her name was Lisa. She kind of said, yeah, based on what they had at that time, I would have signed off on it. Andy Gould, who's running, and Andy is Andrew Gould. He was a former Supreme Court justice in Arizona. He actually resigned from the Supreme Court here to run for attorney general. He's a conservative and a Republican. And he kind of danced around it. And I know he knows the right answer here. I know he does. That the answer is this is what we do unless there's hard evidence. He said unless there's hard evidence in front of you, then yeah, he didn't say it, but in essence he's saying, yeah, you'd have to certify. And other people were ripping him for that. And it's shocking to me. It's shocking to me that people running for attorney general are basically saying they're not going to follow the law. And that's what they're saying here. They're so trying to win public office that they're not going to follow the law when it comes to certifying the vote. And that scares me because what happens in 2024? What happens if one of these people who says they're not going to certify the vote is the attorney general? And what happens if Carrie Lake, who has said she would not have certified the vote? It's incredible to me. So what happens then? Arizona's votes wouldn't count. That's literally what they're saying. Arizona's votes would not count. And as an Arizona voter, that's not acceptable to me. So this is quickly becoming, for me, and I think, and I hope for a lot of other people, this is quickly becoming the litmus test. That if you're going to say now that given what just happened, I would not have certified Arizona's votes, I can't vote for you. I can't, because there's nothing more important than our democracy. There's nothing more important than protecting the vote of our people. And if we're going to elect someone who says beforehand, without evidence of wrongdoing, without evidence of fraud, without evidence of anything that would have changed the result of the 2020 election. And let's be clear, that's where we are. There is no actual evidence of anything that was fraudulent on a scale that would have changed this election. Were there a couple of one-offs? Yeah, most of them were people who voted twice for Trump or things like that. But it's like something like 9 of them or 14 out of millions of votes cast. There is no evidence that this vote was tainted or there's fraud or anything that would even approach the level of changing this election. And that's what I was looking for them to say. I was looking for the Republicans running for attorney general to say that. And the fact that not one of them stood up and said to Ted Simons, the moderator, hey, Ted, there wasn't evidence of voter. I understand people are upset. I understand there's questions. Those questions have been answered by over 60 federal court cases and state cases. It's been answered by audits, multiple audits and reviews and everything else. And there simply is not widespread voter fraud. And therefore, based on even what we know now, let alone what they knew then, even what we know now, yes, I would certify the election. Waiting for someone to stand up and say that. And I know they all know that. And the fact that they're refusing to say it, it scares the heck out of me. Because what happens if next time, what happens in 2024? If instead of having Governor Ducey, who did his job, instead of having Mark Brnovich, who did his job, instead of having the county supervisors who did their job and refused to buckle under all that pressure, what if we have people in place in those offices who say, politically, it's better for me to say, no, this vote doesn't count, and I'm not going to count the voters, I'm going to do my own thing. What do we do if that happens? That's scary. And that's what we're facing now. We're going to have Chris Mays with us. She's going to join us right after the news at 11:30. She's running for Attorney General as a Democrat. I'm going to ask her that question directly. And then coming up, and this gets very interesting, coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk about the homeless situation in Phoenix in the Valley. It's much larger than you think. And we're going to talk to someone who deals with this really much more than most of us do, than almost everybody in the Valley does, and get some background and where we're heading. I'm Barry Marks, and I'm in for Broomhead. Stay with us. It's KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Barry Marks and in for Mike. And happy Friday. We're trying to be happy after that Suns loss. We're trying real hard. And I'm happy to have with us right now Stacey Champion. And Stacey was kind enough to come in. Our producer, Jess Welch, sent me a couple of articles about the homeless situation here in the Valley of the Sun. And I think we all know it's an issue. But it's interesting here because it's unlike a lot of the cities we see in California and Portland and Seattle where you see things with tents all over the place, right, on the sidewalks and in front of businesses. We don't really have that here in Phoenix. And it's almost, for most people, I think they think we really don't have a homeless problem. But what Jess showed me was we do. We have a huge city that now has 11 or 1,200 people in it, of people just living outside under little tents and things because the beds are gone. There aren't enough homeless beds. There aren't enough shelter space. And they're living out there. And most of us don't know that exists. Right, Stacey?
That's correct. So the area that you're referring to is known as the Zone. It's an area that surrounds a human services campus. Ironically, it's pretty close to the state capitol.
Yeah.
Blocks away from the state capitol. But
it's like third and Fifth Avenue and South.
It's kind of tucked between, like, say, 9th Avenue and 13th Avenue. Oh, okay. And Jefferson, kind of just south of Jackson. So it's a big area.
Okay.
And I've been doing kind of a volunteer street outreach in Phoenix with the unsheltered population for probably about 14 years now.
So you just go out there. I mean, this is amazing. You just volunteer on your own time. You collect, you pay, buy things yourself, or you'll talk about this in a second, there's a way people can give money. You get things that the folks on the street need, and you just on your own go out there and talk to people and see what they need and give them things that they need.
That's right. And like I said, I've been doing it for a lot of years now. Whether it's like just socks and underwear, water, cooling towels in the summer.
Yeah. Well, let me start with this. If people want to help you, I mean, I got to tell you, that's amazing. I don't do any of that stuff. I think the vast majority of us don't do that. But I think we'd like to help. I don't want to go down there, but I think we'd like to help. How do we do that? How do we help you do this?
So I have kind of an ongoing Amazon wish list, and the easiest way for people to probably find me is on Twitter. My Twitter handle is ChampPR. But if somebody is interested in volunteering, I'd suggest Andre House. I think they do really good work. They feed people every day. So they're an organization, that if somebody wants to take take that route, they're
But if somebody wants to help you with your Amazon list, buy things to give to the folks who are living on the street, how do they do that? Is there a way to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I post the link a lot. I mean, I can send you you the link for
it. Yeah, send me the link
it.
And I'll put it on my Twitter at Barry Markson 1 as well. And so let me tell you, let me ask you, you're down there. You're seeing this this influx of new homeless people, right? There's just it's growing.
Yeah.
And what is in your mind, because you're seeing the new people come in, what is causing the increase now?
Well, so I mean, I think we can all agree it's an extremely complex issue. And, you know, everybody talks about drugs and mental health issues. Do those things exist? Of course they do. What I can tell you from my personal experience over a lot of years is that not everybody has one of those issues when they end up down there. Sometimes those issues come after the fact, especially with, you know, younger girls. They won't land on the street with drug issues. But then
they get them later.
Exactly.
So is it now, or are we seeing a bigger influx of new people because the cost of housing is going up?
I think that that is a big, big part of it. If you look at our eviction rate for Maricopa County, just in the month of January alone, we had over 5,000 evictions.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of those people don't have somewhere to land.
So are the people you're seeing out there, are they younger people? Are they older people? Who are the new folks coming out because they don't have housing?
Well, the biggest increase that I see, and I think it's a national trend, is homeless seniors. So folks really above the age of 55, and a lot of older women, which is heartbreaking. I mean, there was a woman in a wheelchair with a little dachshund who is in her 70s, who I helped get off the street and into one of the hotels, you know, doesn't have mental health issues, doesn't have drug issues.
Just has money issues.
I mean, a lot of especially older women, their Social Security checks just aren't as high, and they're just getting like straight up priced out of housing.
We were talking about that a couple weeks ago on the air, that the cost of housing for folks who are on a fixed income getting their Social Security check, barely making ends meet, if the rent goes up $200-$300,
they're done.
Yeah, they don't have that.
Yep, they're done.
So Stacey Champion is with us here on KTAR. She's a homeless advocate and a homeless helper, I guess, as you go down there. It's amazing. So what is the biggest need down there? What do the people need the most? I mean, let me ask you this first, because I looked at the pictures of the stuff from the story there of the zone, and what happens as it's getting hotter now? I mean, they're living outside. We're in Phoenix. It's going to be 110 degrees here soon.
Well, and people die.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of weird hobbies. I've also tracked the heat illness and deaths in the state of Arizona for many years now.
Yeah.
And the majority of those deaths, there are deaths that take place indoors too, but the majority of those deaths take place outside.
Yeah.
And so the numbers have been rising every year. We've broken heat records every year. We've also broken heat death records every year. So we had over 500 heat deaths in Arizona last year.
500?
Over 500.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they need down there? I mean, is this a, your opinion? I mean, is this a city issue, a state issue, all of us issue? What do we need to do? Because these folks aren't going away. It's more people are being added to this zone now every day. What do we do?
Well, I think it's an everyone issue,
yeah, right?
It's the city, it's the county, it's the state. We've known for years that there is a lack of affordable housing, so we desperately need more affordable housing. I think we could do a better job helping to keep people from becoming evicted in the first place. I think if those people had some proper legal representation, I think that would go a long way. As far as people who are out on the street, I mean, I think we just need to do more faster, right? Like, we need more affordable housing. We need more shelter beds. We need more low transition housing.
What do we need down there, like, now, tomorrow? I mean, building more affordable housing, those are all long-term
things. Sure.
What do we need tomorrow?
Well, one of the things that I have been heavily advocating for, and actually just submitted a new citizens petition to the city of Phoenix, is a sufficient number of restrooms and more access to potable water and also shade.
Okay.
Because that combination of things is going to literally save lives. We need more kind of place-based cooling tents and cooling centers and in meeting people where they're at.
Okay. So are there restrooms, I'm calling it restrooms, are there like porta potties out there for people to use?
For now, almost 11, I'm sure it is 1,100 people by today. The number of 24/7 bathrooms, okay,
yeah.
Because the Human Services campus is there.
Right.
So during the day, people have access to other bathrooms.
How many are there?
24/7 bathrooms. There are about, I think, to either 10 or 12.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're... are two that are ADA accessible.
See, that,
and that's a huge problem.
That's too many people. I'm not going to be able to, you know, sit down there and read a paper or anything. That's not going to work. Well, so who do we talk to? I mean, do we talk to the city to say, hey, let's put some more porta potties out there? Do we raise money on the side and try to do that on our own? And is there water? Do they have water out there for these folks?
So they've just finally added a water source.
Okay.
I mean, some of the organizations obviously have water, but for all those people on the streets, there is enough.
Okay.
They need a couple more like big water tanks.
Yeah.
People have to stay hydrated.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about you donate some water bottles and stuff, and that's cute. But when you have 1,100 people down there living outside in the middle of the summer, they need a lot of water.
They need a lot of water.
Yeah.
And not just for drinking,
right,
but to keep themselves clean.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, my goodness. Oh,
I mean,
my goodness.
It is.
How do the folks get there? Do police bring them there? Like, do they all walk over to that area?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people, yeah, end up in that area because that's where the majority of the services are.
The social services are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's correct.
Stacey Champion's with us here on KTR. She's a homeless advocate for homeless people. Just an unbelievable growing problem here in Phoenix. I will say, and I think this is going to sound very selfish, I'm happy that they're all in one place, but we need to provide services for them there, right? Like, I don't want us to turn into Santa Monica or Portland where they're just all over everywhere, because I don't think that's good for them or for anybody else.
Well, they actually already are all over.
Where are they?
They're everywhere. I mean, I think there are a ton of folks along the canals.
Oh.
I know they're tucked all over into my neighborhood in kind of Midtown Phoenix.
Okay.
They're by the, you know, freeway overpasses.
Yeah, no, I've seen that. You're
over
right.
Over on the west side, I mean, Maryvale has some issues. I mean, it's really all over.
We need to address it. And I don't know what the answers are. And, you know, we were talking before you came in California, they're spending, it's unbelievable amounts of money on this. And the problem just keeps getting bigger. It's a huge issue, very complex, as you said. I don't know what to do, but I like what you're doing, which is just let's just do what we can to help these people now, get them some shelter, get them some water, get them a way to clean themselves. I think that's a great thing. Stacey Champion, thank you for what you do. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. I'm Barry Markson in for Broomhead. On the other side, Arizona and the Valley getting to be a little bit more of a dangerous place, especially on the roads. We'll talk about why next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back. Barry Markson with you in for Broomhead. Hey, have you subscribed to the Mike Broomhead Show podcast? You can do that right now with your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Mike Broomhead Show podcast, brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get the most of your money selling your home for cash. Go to thehighestprice.com. That's highestprice.com. You know, driving here in Arizona, becoming more dangerous in many ways. Arizona was just named the fourth worst state for deadly pedestrian crashes. And I've got to tell you, if you've ever been out just walking or walking your dog or anything, it happens. People go around corners and they're just not watching you. And if you have the green light as a pedestrian, you're in the crosswalk. And the way some of these drivers, they're just not paying attention, not looking for pedestrians. You have to keep your head up and not on a swivel to make sure you're seen and make sure you're paying attention as well. But very dangerous. And now some of these road rage incidents are picking up. We had one just recently here in Avondale. It's not pretty. It's just not pretty.
This is my first actual car.
On Saturday, Francisco Garcia was driving back from the movies when he noticed a black Dodge Durango swerving into his lane.
I was on the left lane, and then he was just going into my lane, drifting in and out. I don't know if he was texting.
This fender.
Having just got his Subaru back from a previous crash, he said he was trying to avoid getting hit again, so he pulled in front of the Durango and cut him off.
I actually just went around, found his lane, and cut him off, and then went around again and took off, because by the time I cut him off, he was honking, so I know he was mad.
Yeah, he was upset, and then the dash cam footage says what happens next.
Francisco's camera on his bumper shows the driver of the Durango getting out. Francisco said he turned his dash camera towards him.
When he came up to me, I usually point at the dash cam first to let him know. And when I look left, I see the barrel of the gun, you know, on my face.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So this is something that's going on more and more in the valley. Just be careful out there. People are upset. The stress is back. The traffic is there again, and it's dangerous here in the valley driving around out there. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the Suns. They lost Game 6 in Dallas, Game 7 back here in Phoenix, and also we'll give you a Brittany Griner update. She's being held in Russia, our own WNBA star. That's all next. I'm Barry Markson, in for Broomhead. Stay with us. It's KTAR.
Everybody wants to retire, right? But retiring on time, which means in your time frame and with the money you need to live the lifestyle you want, is something that takes work. I recommend Trajan Wealth. First of all, a local company that's been serving this community for years, and they take great pride in that. But second of all, everyone that works there is a fiduciary, which means they're bound by law to put your needs first. So whether you're looking to make sure you're on the right path for retirement, or you want to make sure you're in line with the new tax laws that are out there, or if you're in danger of having to be hit by the estate tax, they're going to help you at Trajan Wealth. They've been doing it for so many families. Let them help your family like they've helped so many, so you retire on time with the money you want to retire with to live your days out in the lifestyle you're accustomed to. 480-990-3300. That's 480-990-3300 or TrajanWealth.com. T-R-A-J-A-N Wealth.com.
Advisory services offered through Trajan Wealth LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Estate planning services offered through Trajan Estate.
Breaking news, traffic, weather. KTAR News, Arizona's news station.
Doug. Chances are you're jamming in your car right now. And since Liberty Mutual customizes car insurance, so you only pay for what you need, Limu and I are going to show you some safe car dance moves. Hit it. Everybody, check your blind spots real quick. Now hands on the wheel. Put them 10 in 2 and move your head like a bird do. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Millions of people use Zoom Phone, the innovative and feature-rich cloud phone system for businesses of any size. Zoom Phone is simple to use, whether you're on a mobile device, desktop, laptop, or desk phone. And because every call is important to your business, Zoom Phone was built with reliability in mind, using geographic redundancy to keep your communications online. Empower your workforce with Zoom Phone. Visit zoom.com/phone system. Zoom, how the world connects.
For more than 40 years, Fulton Homes has worked hard to provide the most important element to every community we build. Growth. Growing strong families. Growing healthy children. But the most important service we provide is the opportunity to grow closer together and to stay that way. Fulton Homes communities are built with endless opportunities to connect with green spaces, aquatic centers, playgrounds, community event centers, and so much more. We help bring generations of families together to strengthen bonds that last lifetimes. From comfort to curb appeal, our homes are carefully designed and